All right, y'all, let's kick this thing off. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your many mercies. We just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your purposes and your plans. We thank you for your mindfulness of us. We thank you for your consideration of us. We thank you that you continue to lead us and guide us in all truth and to work on our behalf, known and unknown, God. We thank you that you truly are a loving God. We thank you for your spirit that quickeneth, God. We thank you for all that you do for us in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. The title of today's message is, Are We After God's Own Heart? We're going to start out in Acts chapter 13 and verse 21. Verse 21 says, And after they desired a king, this is the children of Israel. Let me start at 20. And after he had gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet, right? So this is what's going on with the children of Israel. So before the kings, they had judges and prophets. Verse 21 says, and after they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. Verse 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. And how does he qualify that? Which shall fulfill all of my will, right? So you see in this context here, he says, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. Okay? So that gives us the context of what we're going to deal with on today. And so in evaluating and understanding all of this, I want to go back to start out with Saul and his appointment. So we're going to jump over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. So I'm going to start out in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Right? So this is at the very beginning of Saul becoming king, and it's interesting what he says here at the very inception of it. Okay, the Lord sent me to anoint you the king. Now therefore hearken. What does hearken mean?
Listen.
Okay, we can look it up. I agree with you. We're just going to look it up on here. It says listen, obedient, obey, perceive, regard. Okay, so listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Take heed to the voice of the Lord. Perceive. Be obedient to the voice of the words of the Lord. Okay? So that was what he declared to him from the very beginning. This is what Samuel declared unto Saul. Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt, right? So this is Lord giving an account, right? So this is just a side tangent. You see here that when people do things to his people, he takes an account of that, right? So at this point, he's saying, okay, yeah, this is what happened, and now I'm remembering this. Okay, Amalek waited for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now this is the instruction. Verse 3. Now go and smite Amalek. So this is Yah giving the instruction to Saul. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So these structures are very clear, right? He's telling them, you wipe out everything. This is the instruction that he gave, right? So we see the qualifier before. Listen to all that the Lord is saying. Then you see the instruction come. Don't spare nothing. Spare them not. Don't spare men, women, children. Don't spare animals. Don't you save nothing. All right? So, verse 4. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Canaanites, go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy ye with them. So he was going to attack Amalek. Mixed in with Amalek was the Canaanites, another group of people. So he's saying to them, look, we finna destroy these Amaleks. If y'all want to live, y'all need to get away from these Amaleks, because we finna destroy them, okay? For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Israel. So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites. So the Amalekites were not kind to the Israelites. The Canaanites were. So we repaid them back. Okay, Canaanites, y'all were good to us. We giving y'all a chance to flee. The Amalekites were not. Verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites in Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all of the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag. There was no command for that to happen. He didn't say spare the king. Not only did he spare, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatling and of the lamb and of all that was good, and would not orderly destroy them. But everything that was vile, and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. So we saw what the instruction was. The instruction was destroy everything. Don't save nothing. But then when they got in there, what they do, they saw, they got some good sheep up in here. they got some good lambs and some good oxen. Oh, we can't utterly destroy these good things. This is good. So you see them not follow the command. So I want us to understand the context too, right? Even if the people made this declaration, there is a leader that's over these people, right? That if that leader is going to follow the instruction, it don't matter what the people say. Either they're going to follow the instructions of the leader, or it's going to cost them. But if the leader ain't strong, the leader will follow what the people say. That's what we see happening here, right? So they see all of this stuff, and they didn't follow, right? So it says, but Saul and the people spared. So it's showing you both of them. It ain't just the people. It's Saul, too, because if his heart was right, it didn't matter what the people say. He the king. But we see what happens, right? Verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, So all this is going on. Samuel ain't with them. Samuel is back wherever he is. But when this happened, the word of the Lord come to Samuel regarding this, right? So again, it says, verse 10, then came the word unto the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he turned his back from following me. So because Yah gave the instruction and he didn't follow it, Yah said, I hate the day I ever made him to be the king, because now he ruling over Israel, and he done turned his back on me. He didn't listen to what I said. He did different. Again, for he hath turned his back from following me, and have not performed my commandments, And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. So Samuel didn't do it, but when he heard what happened, it grieved him, so he cried all night. Verse 12. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So he's saying, well, I did everything the Lord told me to do. That's what Saul says about the report of what he did. Verse 14, and Samuel said, What meaneth this bleeding? Bleeding is the sound that sheep make, right? So when it says, that's called bleeding. So Saul is saying to Samuel, I did what the Lord commanded me to do. And so Samuel says, What meaneth this bleeding of sheep in my ears did? Basically, he's saying, if you did what I told you, how am I hearing these sheep? Because I told you to destroy everything. So why am I hearing sheep? And the lowing of oxen, which I hear. Why am I hearing these oxen noises? And Saul said, and I find this part very interesting. So immediately, as the leader, instead of owning up to what he did, what is he saying? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. So he didn't say, I brought them from the Amalekites. I didn't stop them from bringing them from the Amalekites. No, he threw his people under the bus. Why I hear this? They brought them from the Amalekites. For the people. See, he blamed the people. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord. Now he trying to be slick. Yeah. Well, we save these best of these animals so we can sacrifice them to the Lord. That's the story he came up with on the spot, right? Because that wasn't the case when it was going on. They were just saving the best of the best. But now he trying to justify it by saying, we save the best of the sheep and the oxen so that we can sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest have utterly been destroyed, right? So now he's trying to justify what he did wrong. So, you know, sometimes that's what we do. Oh, I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 15. So, sometimes, as humanity, we do the same thing. Amen. You get caught, and instead of owning up to what you did, instead of taking responsibility for what you did, we want to blame somebody else. Amen. We want to use something else as the scapegoat. We want to try to justify what we did to make it seem like it was right. We know it was wrong. We know. But we want to try to save face. We want to make it seem like, oh, well, you know, I really did this because... Nah, you didn't. That ain't why you did it. You're just trying to save face, all right? Verse 16, then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. So it's like, okay, say what the Lord got to say. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, basically you wasn't puffed up, when you was still humble, because nobody didn't know who you are, when you were little in your own sight, was thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? So you wasn't puffed up, you know, you didn't think highly of yourself. When that happened, you were made head of the tribe of Israel. And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. That's what he asked. Did this not happen? Verse 18, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord? But did it fly upon the spoil? Basically, he's saying you didn't obey the voice of the Lord because you wanted the spoil. Mm-hmm. And did it evil in the sight of the Lord. So understand this. When the Lord give you an instruction, when you deviate from that instruction, The Lord considers that evil. Amen. That's an interesting understanding, right? So I want us to understand in our everyday life and in our everyday journey, when the Lord give us instruction, let us perform all of that instruction. Amen. Because we see with this, even in the context of the things that we've been dealing with up until this point, we've got to understand that to operate in the kingdom of heaven, we can't go by our lust. Amen. We can't go by all those sinful desires and all of those things, because it throws us off. It causes us to deviate from the purpose and the plans of Yah, right? So they went out to follow the instructions. And then when they got there, they saw something that they wanted, amen? So we can't fall into that same category either. The Lord may give us instructions. And when we go forward, just because we see something we want, we can't deviate from the plan of the Lord. Now, if that thing doesn't deviate from the plan of the Lord, okay, you see something you want, go on after it. But if the Lord gives specific instructions, we got to follow those instructions to the T, amen? That's how we got to be. And so I want us to understand this, because for where we going in ministry, this is going to be vital. Because there are going to be people that's coming. There are going to be people that's here that we're going to be responsible for. There are going to be opportunities that if your heart ain't right, to take advantage of people, amen? They are being sent here for a purpose. But if we don't make sure we carry out the instructions of the Lord, then we can find ourselves doing that's evil in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And we don't want to fall into that category. Okay? Verse 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent, and brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. So even in the midst of his rebuke, he said, I did what the Lord told me to do. I went and destroyed the Amaleks and brought back the king. Verse 21, again, but the people took the spoil. So again, we seeing the same thing. He's trying to remove himself from what he did that he was guilty of. You know, I did everything the Lord told me to do. But the people is the one that did this thing. The people took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, and the chief of things which have been utterly destroyed, should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal, right? So again, he's passing the buck on again. Verse 22 says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So basically he's saying, this is what you're saying, this is what you're using to try to justify what you did, but do the Lord have more pleasure in offering and sacrifices, or are you obeying what he told you? What's more important? Is it more important for me to do what the Lord tell me? Or to make sacrifices and offerings because I done did wrong? There you go. So, he's bringing this quandary to Samuel. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. So basically, when you offering sacrifice, that's for some shortcomings. That's for something not happening the way that it should. But if I obey and I follow that to the letter of the T, it ain't no shortcoming, amen? It ain't no reason to have to sacrifice. It ain't no reason to have to offer offerings in this context, right? So you seeing what's going on, Samuel is saying it would have been better for you to just obey what the Lord told you. Don't try to justify now, oh, because these were goodly sheep and goodly. No, that he told you to get rid of all of it. He didn't say go in and save the goodly ones and sacrifice. That's not what's not the instruction. He told you specifically what to do. Now, verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So basically what he's accounting this as, this is rebellion. When I tell you to do something and you don't do what I tell you to do, he's saying that's rebellion. And that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's doing whatever you want to do. Doing your will. So again, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So basically, when I give the instruction and you stubborn, when y'all give the instruction and we stubborn and we just do what we want to do, God is saying that's like the sin of witchcraft. That stubbornness that you're doing, because it's a stubbornness. I said do this, but we can get stubborn in our ways. Well, I want this, Lord. Well, I feel like I want to do it this way. Well, I kind of think that this is the best way. When we operate that way, this is how y'all see it. It's rebellion. It's stubbornness. And it's like iniquity and idolatry, because basically you have the Most High God, creator of all that there is, giving you an instruction, and you decide, well, I don't want to listen to him. I want to do some other way, right? Right. Right. I want to do it my own way. So when I want to do it my own way, that's me saying, I know better than you, God. I'm the God in this circumstance, you know. You, what do you know telling me? Yeah, I know you created all these things, you know, all this stuff. But in this situation, I think I know better. That's dangerous, y'all. We don't want to operate that way, right? We want to get the instruction, and we want to follow it to the letter of the T. Because we understand, even, let's look at modern times. Satan and his kingdom, his mantra is, do what thou wilt. That shall be the whole of the law. That's the whole of Satan's law. Do whatever you want to do. Because when you do whatever you want to do, you ain't going to be doing the will of Yah. Amen. So he don't even have to be specific about what you're doing. His law, just do whatever you want to do. That's what you do. And we've seen it now. We've seen the evidence. You see Puffy, P. Diddy in court. You seen all the evidence of all the stuff that he was doing that was getting covered up, that the system was allowing him to do, till the system got tired of him, till he did something the system didn't want. But you see, he was doing all he wanted to do, man. And there was some heinous stuff, right? When you look at that stuff, it's some jacked up stuff he was doing. But he was in the realm of that kingdom, and he wasn't doing anything to go against it. So they let him do whatever he want, and they covered it all up, right? And so we don't want to fall into that, right? So if we do it, the scripture says, he that is faithful in that was least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much, right? So I want us to understand, if we be unfaithful in the little things, then all that's going to do is to be unfaithful in the big level, right? So when those things happen and we operate that way, if we don't go unchecked, if we don't repent, all that causes us to do is to just get bolder and bolder and greater and stronger in our own delusions, amen? If I feel like I can disregard Yah in this little small thing right here, well, if I can justify that in my mind, what's stopping me from justifying all of this other stuff over here in my mind, right? What's the difference? If I can do it here, then I can do it on a big stage too, right? But by the same token, if I'm going to be faithful in this little thing that nobody don't see, nobody don't even know. The Lord told me, call Sister Tanya. And nobody didn't know that, but I did it, amen? I don't have to get no reward. Everybody don't have to know. But if I can be faithful in that little thing, then y'all say, okay, I can trust him over a lot of things. And this is how it's working, right? So we see What to Saul at the time, oh, it don't seem like a big deal, you know. I feel like I still did with the Lord, but he didn't do all of it, amen. And so we got to be the same way. We got to pay attention to those things that the Lord lead us to do, right, and take it serious. Does that make sense? We can't be light about it, amen. We got to be understand who giving us the instructions and treat it with the level of sin, with the level of severity that it requires, amen. All right. Again, verse 23. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and he hath rejected thee from being king. So basically he's saying, because you rejected the word, my word, I have rejected you from the position that I gave you. And so what I want us to understand in all of our lives, we ain't all called to be king. But there are things and there are callings that are for us, amen. And so what I want us to understand, all of our callings are important, amen. We call to do these things. And in so doing, I want us to not reject Yah in our callings, amen. So that we can be useful and we can be good agents for the kingdom of heaven, and so that he don't have to reject us. Amen. I don't want that for any of us. I want us all to make it. I want us all to do what we call to do. I want us to all follow all that God has given us to do. Verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have trespassed the commandment of the Lord. And thy words, and Samuel's words. Why? Here's the colon. Because I feared the people. So he's now explaining to you why he did all the things that he did. Now I say unto each and every one of us, with this understanding, when the Lord give us instruction, whatever that instruction is, we can't fear the people, amen. We can't fear what people have to say. We can't fear what judgment they may offer. We can't fear what stumbling blocks they might try to put in our way. We can't fear none of those things, because if we do, it may cause us to deviate from the instructions of the Lord, amen. So when those instructions come, you don't care what nobody else say, amen. You don't care what nobody else think. You don't care what nobody else feel about it, because all of that is immaterial, right? Our mission is to do whatever the Lord said, right? If I am in the military, and the general give the instruction, can I come back later and say, well, I was afraid of the enemy, so I didn't follow your instruction? Do you think that works in the army? It don't work that way. When the instruction come, it don't matter how you feel about it. You follow the command, amen? And that's how we got to be. We can't be afraid of the people. Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So he's telling you what he did. Not only did he fear the people, but he obeyed what the people said, because he was afraid of the people. And so I want us to understand, as leaders, as representatives of the kingdom, we can't operate that way, amen. We got to do whatever the Lord say and obey the Lord's voice, not take down for anybody else. I don't care who it is. If the Lord gave you the instruction, you don't take down for me. I'm a fellow laborer just like you are, but at the end of the day, we're going to have a give an account to the Lord for what he said to us, amen. That's how it's going to work, amen? And that's what we got to do. You can't stand before the Lord and say, well, my wife had told me blah, 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 blah. What did I tell you? Well, my boss had told me blah, 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 blah. What did I tell you? So I'll give an example. And I can only speak for me. I'm not speaking for anybody else on this. I'm just speaking for me. When COVID hit and the vaccines came, the Lord told me not to get the vaccine. That's what he told me specifically. I can't speak for everybody. Everybody else is on their own journey. But me, he told me not to do it. Now, my job said, hey, if you don't get this vaccine, we letting y'all go. So I'm like, well, this ain't going to be easy for me. But I done made up in my mind, I don't care what they say, I'm not getting this vaccine, because the Lord told me not to, right? And so in that situation, those were dire straits, you know what I mean? Because you thinking about it, okay, this is my job, this is my livelihood. But at the same time, the Lord is my source. Amen. The Lord is who I have to be accountable to. And when I'm faced with these two things, I got to make a choice. Now, this choice may or may not be easy, but I'm going to make the choice that's going to serve me well in eternity, amen? Now, that being said, the Lord provided a way of escape for me, in that he allowed that for some, if you could fill out this exemption form, then it provided a way. But even if he hadn't done that, I had made up in my mind, Lord, you done provided for me all of this time. If this is what they declaring, I don't know how this journey is going to work. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I'm going to trust you in spite of what it looked like. But he made a way of escape, amen? But that's how we have to be. Whatever those commandments are, we got to follow them. And it doesn't matter what comes against us. It don't matter what exalts itself against the instruction that God gave, right? We can't be afraid. So understand there are going to be some times in the future where people are going to be going in a direction that's opposite of the kingdom of heaven, amen? And they're going to be trying to influence you to do the same thing. And they may say, look, if you go over and you do this, you're going to have these spoils. You got these spoils that the system is offering you. You know, why are you choosing to go this route? Why are you doing this? But are we going to listen to the voice of the people? Or are we going to listen to the voice of the Lord? Amen. So we got to make up in our mind which one we going to do. Even if it means some difficult times temporarily. Amen. There is an outcome at the very end of all of this that works out in our favor if we hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Amen. All right. Now, verse 25, this is Saul talking. It says, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Verse 27, and Samuel turned to about to go away, and he laid a hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. So he rent his mantle. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord have rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, which have given it unto a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. So I want us to understand also this implication. You understand? You remember the parable of the servants that received the talents, and at the end, what did he say? Basically, in a nutshell, he said, "If you won't be a good steward over these things, he that hath not, even that he have will be taken away, and he that hath, even that he had, will be added unto," right? So you see here, Saul didn't do what he needed to do. So he had not, that he had was taken away from him. So this is what you see happening right here. So he said, I'm going to give it to somebody better than thou. Verse 29, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should lie, that he should repent, right? So God is saying, I made this declaration, I ain't gonna change my mind, I ain't gonna repent from it. I am not a man that I should lie nor repent. Amen. So we seeing that's the example of what we shouldn't do. Amen. Now I want to follow up a little bit more on this just for more understanding on just this part right here, and then we'll move forward. So we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 13, and I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. 13 says, and Samuel said to Saul, but thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Saul, if you had followed my commandments, if you had did what I told you to do, the Lord is saying, I would have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. Verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. So the testimony then is that Saul was not a man after Yah's own heart. Had he been, the Lord is saying, I would establish your kingdom forever. But because you didn't obey, I'm looking for myself a man after mine own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So I want us to understand that clearly. The Lord is saying, Saul, you didn't do what I told you to do, so I'm going to find myself a man after my own heart, and I'm going to take that mantle from you. I'm going to take that role from you, and I'm going to give it to this man that is a man after my own heart. Now, we're going to jump on over to Psalms chapter 31. Now, we understand, based on what we read earlier in Acts, that the testimony of David was that he was a man after God's own heart. That was Yah's testimony of David. Now, you know, if you read in the scripture, you know, we can read the story of David and we can see what he did and we can see his shortcomings. But even with his shortcomings, he still had the testimony that he was a man after Yah's own heart. But what I want us to do is, we're going to read this psalm right here. But what I want us to understand is, as we read this, I want us to see what David's mindset was, right? I want us to see how he thought, right? Because it's these things and how he operated and conducted himself is what made him a man after God's own heart. It's the mindsets that matter, right? Because we saw what Saul's mindsets were, right? We saw how he operated and we saw the results that he got, right? Now, I want us to read David, and as we go through, I want us to see David's mindsets in this particular one. But even so, as we reading this, I want us to also, in your private study time, read some of the Psalms and just see what David's mindset was, because it gives us insight into what Yah deems worthy. I'll just put it that way. What Yah deems as a mindset to be after his own heart, right? As we read these things, it shows you what Yah liked about what David was doing. So we're going to start out in Psalm chapter 31 and verse 1. And it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. That right there is a message all by itself, amen. So here's the reality. If I don't put my trust in Yah, then I ain't going to fully follow out what he tell me to do, amen. Because think about it, in the situation as it pertained to Saul, one, he didn't fully put his trust in Yah. That's why he feared the people, amen. That's why he obeyed the voice of the people, amen. Then, when you look at the people, okay, the instruction came that they were supposed to utterly destroy everything, right? Is Yah not able to provide more sheep and oxen like the ones that he told them to destroy? Can he not produce those things elsewhere? Outside of the part where he told you to destroy these things? But yet, if I don't trust the Lord, I'm going to take these sheep and oxen in my hand, even if I have to disobey, rather than to trust the God of the instruction and trust that, hey, these right here, he told me not to have, he told me to destroy, but he's well able to provide me other sheep and other oxen and other lamb just as good as these or better, amen? But that's because they didn't put their trust in the Lord, amen? And so you see here, first thing David says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, amen? That's a foundation for us as we operate as representatives of the kingdom of heaven, amen? Foundational. We got to put our trust in Yah, no matter what it looks like, amen? It can look like it's going the opposite of what we expect. Everything that's happening physically can be looking like the opposite of what the Lord declared, amen? But we got to put our trust in him. Verse again, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Basically, he's saying, help me, Lord, and in thy righteousness, meaning in his will. Not my will, not David's will. Deliver me in your righteousness. Deliver me in the way that you see fit, what you feel is best. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down our ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. So he's not putting his hope in his own ability. He's not putting his trust in his kingship. He's not putting his trust in his authority. No. Despite him being king over Israel, who is the apple of Yah's eye, what is he doing? In the midst of what's going on, I'm turning to you, Yah. Yah, please. Bow down out here to hear me. I'm praying, I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm looking for you. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock. You the one, y'all. It ain't me. It ain't my money. It ain't my riches. It ain't my power. It ain't the fame that go about of me. No. You my strong rock. For a house of defense to save me. It's you, y'all. For thou art my rock and my fortress. You, y'all, are my strong and my protection. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me. He ain't saying lead me for my sake. No. He's saying, Lord, lead me for your sake. I'm trying to represent you. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. Lead me for your sake, y'all, and guide me. Pull me out of the net they have laid privily for me. This ain't about me. They done laid the snare, y'all. Pull me out of this net, for thou art my strength. You see how this is working? As he's calling out to Yah, it ain't about him. It ain't about these things. He turning all of this over to Yah. I'm trusting you in all these things, Yah. I need you to guide me. I know I got this position. I know you gave it to me. But even in the midst of that, I'm still coming to you. You still my strength. I still need you. Verse 5, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Basically, he's saying, I don't even trust me in my own hands, amen. I into your hands I commit all that I am. My spirit, I commit that into your hands. I'm not trying to figure out what I think I know best in this. No, well, I think I done put enough skins on the wall that, you know, in this situation. Nope, that ain't what he doing. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me. You paid the price for me. I didn't do it. Thou hast redeemed me. O Lord God of truth, I have hated them that regard lying vanities. Basically, what you don't like, I don't like. They regarding these lying vanities, all this stuff that exalt this stuff against the knowledge of you and what you say and your instruction. I hate those people. Go ahead.
So what I was thinking about, the heart of David was, like I said, for God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like a lot of times people be in positions, they kings and mm-hmm. governors and pastors and this and that. And they walk around with their head in their hair and their nose and their knee is, no, it's not you. It's about God. And David had a heart after God because he wanted God to get the glory. He wanted to appoint people to God so they could see, this God that I'm serving, he's all powerful. He got the power, no matter how many people come against me, he got the power to fight my battles. It's just like Goliath was a giant, right? Everybody was afraid of him except David.
Mm-hmm.
Because David had been on the backside of the desert. He had dealt with lions and birds, and he bragged about how God gave him the strength, and God supernaturally intervened on his behalf. And he said, this day with this uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to cut his head off. So he said, even with this particular area, I got all these people coming against me. God is my refuge. He is my fortress. Even though an army come against me, he knew that he had angels surrounded him. He knew that God had the power. He had the power to deliver him for a host of armies that encamped around him. And he want us to have that same confidence. And you know, even about what you was talking about a while ago when Saul took the spoil.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's just like us today. Say, for instance, lose a job or having some hard time. Instead of doing things God's way, we begin to walk in fear because we've got our focus on what God said. Because the word of God said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And then he said, the cattle of a thousand hills, everything belongs to God. And then he also said, the heart of the king is in my hand, and I turn it wherever I will. Well, these people that own all of this, got all this money, got all this other stuff, it's just temporary. God allowed them to use it. God can turn them same people's hearts, like he said the king,
mm-hmm.
taught us to put stuff in our hand, the stuff that we need. But a lot of times, we're looking at, oh, I don't want to live like this. It might be, we're looking at the now instead of what God can do for us. And we, I think a lot of times we begin to walk in fear. I think just like him, so because of people.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, what? See me driving this. I've been there, done that.
Amen. So what it boiled down to, all those things, is a trust issue between us and God. Because if we trust him, we know all the things that he declared. Just like what he said, he owned the cattle of 1,000 hills, right? So provision is not an issue for God, amen? But whatever the circumstances, like what I dealt with on a Wednesday, God allows us to go through things because he's trying to purify us, like I said, like purifying us like gold, like I showed, right? He allows us to go through those things for that purpose, right? He's not ignorant or incapable of providing. So the key part in all of this is we have to learn how to trust God no matter what it looks like, amen? And that's where a lot of people go wrong. They judge after the seeing of their eyes and the hearing of their ears, right? But we have to do whatever God is leading us to do. We got to trust God no matter what it looked like. Verse 6 says, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Again, we see him reiterate that again, but I trust in the Lord. Verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. For thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities, and has not shut me up in the hand of my enemy. So he basically saying, I'm trusting you, God. You know what's going on with me. You know my trouble. You know my adversities. And with all that going on, you didn't let the enemy close me up. Amen.
Amen.
I rejoice in your mercy. It's his mercy. Could he let the enemy close us up? He sure could. But I rejoice in your mercy that despite all you know what's going on with me, you didn't let the enemy shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Okay? So not only that, not only did you keep me, you placed me where you want me to be. Amen? These are the things that we got to understand. He didn't place himself in a large room. The Lord did. But the Lord did because he trusted in the Lord. Amen? When these things happening, we can't be afraid of what's going on. We can't be afraid of people. We got to trust the Lord and trust that the Lord is going to place us right where he wants us to be. Amen. Verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. So you can still turn to the Lord in those troubles here. Remember when I said when the situation comes and you don't understand what to do and it seems like it's more than you can bear? What did I say? You go to the Lord for wisdom, right? You go to the Lord for understanding. Because he said, I ain't going to put more on you than you can bear. And if it become too unbearable, I'm going to provide a way of escape. So even in the midst of what's going on, you see what David is doing. For I am in trouble. Mine eyes, again, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eyes is consumed with grief. Oh, wait. I want to go back. Verse 8, and has now shut me up in the hand of mine enemy, and thou hast set my feet in a large room. So the Lord has placed me doing all of these things. Verse 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. Basically, he's saying, all I'm seeing is grief. So you see, even in the midst of David being a man after God's own heart, that doesn't mean he wasn't going through stuff, amen. That mean that he wasn't being challenged. That doesn't mean he wasn't being tested. These things are still happening. Like what I said on the message on Wednesday, testing is a part of the process, amen. Amen. It just comes with the territory. And so you see here, he's showing you the evidence of his test. He's saying, my eyes is consumed with grief. I'm seeing grievous stuff happening all around me. Yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief. I'm experiencing a whole lot of grief. So I don't want us to get it misconstrued as a representative of the kingdom of heaven. Everything is not going to be peaches and cream. It's just not. We see it over and over again. Now, that being said, the things that we go through are for a purpose. So I don't want to get that misconstrued either. It ain't just happening just to be happening. Those things are happening for a reason, for our benefit, because we know all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. So these things happening are working together for our good. It ain't just for no reason, but it is a part of the process. So don't count it strange when these things is happening. Again, verse 10, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. You know what that is. Stuff is so overwhelming you, all you can do is be like, you see people do that. You know how it go. You can't even put it into words. She has it. So when you hear somebody doing that, you say, what's wrong with you? What's going on? Because when you hear that, people don't make that noise unless something going over on with them, right? Yeah. Something going on that's overwhelming them. They don't know. They just in their spirit. When you hear them do it, you be like, boy, what's wrong with them? Alright, so he says, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing, my strength failing. So he's saying my strength failing. In my own ability, what I got, my strength faileth because of my iniquity, right? So I like he being honest. He ain't trying to sweep under the rug his shortcomings. We do that, right? We think we the believer, we the man of God. We try to sweep our shortcomings under the rug. But now he say my strength faileth because of my iniquity. And my bones are consumed. So you see mindsets. Whereas Saul passed the buck, David take ownership for his shortcomings. You see the difference? So for us, when we represent it, we don't want to pass the buck. Amen. If we fell short, we gonna have to own up to it. Amen. I fell short. Ain't no point in me dancing around it. It ain't like the Lord don't know. He know. So I might as well own up to it. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. Verse 11. I was in reproach among all mine enemies. So let's look up reproach. Reproach is disgrace. Rebuke, shame. So I was in shame. I was in disgrace among all my enemies. But especially among my neighbors. And a fear to my acquaintances. Acquaintances is the friends and the people around me. They that didn't see me without fled from me. So when I was going out about doing my thing, people was running away from me. This is what was going on. So he just giving his testimony. Verse 12. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. So he's saying just like when a person died, people don't think about him no more. He said I was forgotten as a dead man. I am like a broken vessel. So you don't see him here boasting in who he is. He is acknowledging all of his frailties. Amen. He is acknowledging his shortcomings. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. So we see how this happening even in the context of what I was saying earlier. When we, in previous messages, when I was saying when we get the instructions, sometimes we got to follow even if our life is on the line, right? What's more important, our life or what God is leading us to do, right? So there are going to be some times in the days ahead that you're going to have to do some things that it seem like your life is in jeopardy, amen? But either we're going to follow the Lord or we're going to take down. We're going to let the fear of the people and what they impose upon us cause us to change our course. We can't do that because the scripture says, why be afraid of the one that can kill the body? You need to be afraid of the one that can destroy the soul, amen? And that's how we got to see. So that means sometimes there's going to be times when we're doing what we're supposed to do and our life going to seem to be in peril. Again, verse 14, but here we see again. But I trusted in thee. These situations were happening. They were trying to take my life away. They were plotting against me. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. So we see how we got to be. I don't care what it's looking like out there. In the midst of all those things, we got to make sure we keep our trust in the Lord. And he continued to acknowledge, thou art my God. My times are in thy hands. That's how we got to see it. It don't matter what it look like, what's going on with us, in our bodies, in our finances, in our jobs, in our mentals, all of those things. It don't matter what's going on in all of those areas. We have to resolve in our mind that no matter what it look like, no matter what's going on, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. Thou art my God. That's how we got to see it and understand it. Those are the things that we got to settle in our mind. We got to resolve that beyond the shadow of a doubt. We can't let nothing cause us to deviate for that. Verse 15, again, my times are in thy hands. What's going on with me is in your hand. So if I know those things are in your hand, what does he say? Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. So I know it's all in your hands. So I'm coming to you and I'm asking you to deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. I'm not concerning myself with them. I'm coming to you as my God, knowing that it's all in your control, and I'm asking you to deliver me from them. Verse 16, make thy face shine upon thy servant. See, this whole thing ain't trying to figure out what the enemy doing. It ain't trying to figure out plotting and planning. No, it's all a conversation between him and his God. I don't have to know all them things. I don't have to know what they plotting. I don't have to know those things. Make thy face shine upon thy servant. If you do that, I'm going to be all right. Amen. This is the most important thing to me. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Yeah, don't save me for your sake. I mean, don't save me for my sake. Yeah. Save me for your mercy's sake. This is how he's seeing things. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. This is why he asked me, don't let me be ashamed. Don't let me be ashamed because I did my own thing. No, that ain't what he asked. Don't let me be ashamed because I called upon you, Lord. I put my trust in you, just like what she said. I called upon you. Don't let me be ashamed because this is the path that I chose. Let the wicked be ashamed. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking about David and all this distress. Mm-hmm. And I believe in a certain area, some certain point, that he was in distress. He was very highly discouraged until he stopped looking at that his enemies around him, and he started focusing on God. Because, you know, he knew, just like I said, even in the desert, when the lion and the bear, and I can imagine all these wild animals coming trying to steal the sheep. And he went in the strength of the Lord, even against Goliath. I believe that at that point where he focused back on the Lord, because a lot of time, I even believe, even today, that's why a lot of us got high blood pressure, we stressed, and hair falling out, and even, you know, bone dried up and all that kind of, because we focusing on the curves of the world instead of focusing. And I know sometimes we're going to be looking at the circumstances, but I just believe even in this lesson, God is wanting us to look at David, that even though David had all these people coming against him, Saul and the armies and this, that, and the animals and stuff, I believe that David got his focus on the Lord by these prayers. And that he knew that he was in the hand of the Lord and God was going to deliver him and bring him out, because he got his eyes off his circumstances and his situation.
Amen. And this is what I'm trying to convey to us, because, again, the title of the message is, Are We After God's Own Heart? All right? What verse did I stop on? Okay. Verse 17, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. So he's saying, okay, God, I'm calling upon you. Let me not be ashamed. Let these jokers out here that ain't trusting in you, ain't following your lead, ain't doing what you want them to do, let them ones be ashamed. And let them be silent in the grave. Verse 18, let the lion lips be put to silence. So you seeing what's happening. We see a lot of that out there today. We see a whole lot of lying lips. Amen. But he's saying, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speaketh grievously things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. So he's saying all them ones, they, you know, they ain't following you. They following the kingdom of darkness. What they doing? They speaking proudly. They speaking contemptuously against the righteous. Let them be put to silence. Verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness. So he continuing to acknowledge the Lord. In spite of all that's going on with me, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid upon, that thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, right? So we see some distinctions that he's making. Which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. So we also see a different mindset here, right? So he's saying Great is thy goodness that you have laid upon us that trust in thee before the sons of men. So what they're saying is, I'm thankful for what you do for us, God, when we trust you in front of the sons of men, right? So you see what happened with Saul. He didn't trust Yah. He didn't trust Yah before the sons of men, right? That's not what he did. And as a result, we see the outcome. But he's saying goodness for those who trust you before the sons of men. Now, it's easy to trust them when you just by yourself, amen. You in your prayer closet, yeah, it's easy to trust them. But when them trials come your way before the sons of men, as what I talked about the last time about when Jesus said to Peter, you know, before the cock crow three times, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter was like, I would never. But yet when that pressure came, say, hey, ain't you the one that was with Jesus? Nah, that wasn't me. So if we ain't careful, we can be representative of the kingdom. And when that time come where we need to trust him before the sons of men, then if we ain't careful, we'll crumple up, right? But when we are a man after God's own heart, we got to trust him even in front of the sons of men, amen? Even if whatever is going on with them, we got to trust that despite the peril, because even in the situation of Peter, I'm assuming, because Christ was going to be crucified, he was assuming if I say something, I say I'm with him, then I might be on the list too, you know what I mean? So for the sake of my own life, let me be like, I don't know him. But we can't be that way, right? And I'm not saying that to just rag on Peter. I just want us to understand that if we ain't careful, then when the situations arise, we can fall into that category. But I want us to know and understand up front that when those situations arise, we got to be bold, amen? We got to trust in the Lord in front of you know, the sons of men, amen? Verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. So this is for those who trust in him, who are the righteous. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men, right? So as we trust in men, if we do what we're supposed to do, if it ain't our time, then y'all gonna make provision for us. He gonna provide a way of escape. He gonna hide us. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. So God is able to protect us. We don't have to worry about protecting ourselves. God himself can protect us. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. So we see these things as a strong city, but in the midst of all of that, Yah is still showing his kindness. Yah is still able. Verse 22, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thy eyes. Right? So I said, you know, it seemed like all these things that's happened to me, I'm going to be cut off before the Lord's eyes. He said, I said it in my haste. I didn't think long enough. I said it too soon. For I have said in my haste, I was cut off from before thy eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications. You honored me, Yah, in those things that I requested, when I cried unto thee. So you see this mindset. He king of all of Israel. But yet, in the midst of all of these things, he's crying out unto the Lord continually. He's acknowledging the Lord's goodness continually. He's acknowledging all that the Lord is doing, that the solutions are all in God's hands. They're not in my hands. They're not in the people's hands. They're not in what the people see. It's not in what the people judge. All of that is in the Lord's hands. And he's acknowledging, not only is he seeking the Lord, but the Lord is hearing and the Lord is honoring. And we gotta have that same mindset. When the scriptures say a double mind is unstable in his ways, how can he think to get anything from the Lord? If I'm going to trust him this minute, then this minute I ain't going to trust him. I'm going to trust him this minute, and then what the people say going to make me not trust him. If that's how we operate, and the Lord ain't going to bless that, we got to be able to trust him no matter what it look like. That's what the Lord is looking for. Not double-minded, single-minded. And with the single-mindedness of, I'm going to trust the Lord, amen. That's the single-mindedness they need to be. Because there's some single-mindedness on the evil side. That's not it. Just So we need to be single-minded from the perspective of us trusting in the Lord no matter what it looked like. Verse 23. This is David talking to us. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful. Faithful being, I trust you no matter what, God. The Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Verse 24. Be of good courage. This is what I want to say to all of us. Yeah, we all going through stuff. We understand all of this stuff is testing and it's part of the journey. And it will continue to happen. So I don't want us to be surprised. I don't want us to be shocked. I don't want to know. I want us to know up front, this is what we're getting ourselves into. But there is an expected end. And I want us to be of good courage. Amen. And he shall strengthen your heart. And ye that all ye that hope in the Lord. Amen. That's what I want to be our takeaway from this. I want us to understand that we can't be like Saul. We need to be like David, right? So if you're in your time, you want to reread this again or just read some of the Psalms. Just see how David was viewing things. And let it be our example for how we are to conduct ourselves, amen, and how we to operate. And at the end of the day, all of us, we should be of good courage because we know the Lord going to strengthen us, amen. Amen. That's all I got. Any questions or comments, thoughts? Nothing? All right, then let's close this thing out. Heavenly Father, I just ask that for the sake of all of the ministry and everybody that's here and everybody that's under the sound of my voice, God, that you would bless us and lead us all in the understanding and knowing on what it takes to trust in you in all circumstances, God. We ask that all of the tests that we go through help us to grow that faith and that trust in you more and more each and every day so that we don't doubt and we don't waver and we don't crack like we understood the gold cracked when it still had the impurities. We ask Yah that you just continue to purify us each and every day so that when the situation arises, we don't crack, Yah. We trust in you with all our heart. We believe you no matter what it looks like. We put our faith in you and you alone. We don't take down to the people. We don't take down to the judgments that may come. We don't take down to the lies, the slandering. We just continue to trust in you, God. And we just acknowledge you. We consider you faithful. And we just ask that you help us to be faithful as you are faithful in all that we do. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.